We want to talk about things green.
Indeed.
Yeah, and that's not cannabis oil.
Yes, no, that wasn't really on the program.
No, we didn't plan for that. Yeah, exactly.
Although, with that being said, it is an interesting topic we could look at.
The marketing of cannabis.
Massive.
Yeah, let's do that
let's
in another week.
Let's do that.
But in the meantime, let's talk about, you know, and I wonder how sincere this whole thing is, and I wonder if it matters. So, you know, you get everybody now jumping on the green bandwagon, mm-hmm. making us feel guilty and not demanding additional things that normally cost those companies money. And then we feel good about ourselves. They feel better because their bottom line improves. Am I being too cynical?
How do I answer that? Right. Yes and no.
Okay, well, tell us.
So I think I agree with you. So yes, there's definitely been a move, like, globally with every single retailer, every single organization to go green. And that's where the sustainable marketing comes in, also known as green marketing. And the reason that's come in is because people, again, have become so much more savvy, so much more aware of their environment, want to identify with the brands or the retailers that they shop at. And if they feel that somewhere on a value level that they don't agree with how that business is behaving, then they disengage and go somewhere else. So businesses have to actually step up and have to become more environmentally friendly, more socially aware. It all started with a move in the mid-1990s. There was a man named John Eclington, and he started to measure sustainability. And he created a framework called the triple bottom line. So historically, companies always looked at what they termed the big P, right? The profit. And now when we talk about the triple bottom line, we're looking at people, planet, and profit. So you're looking at your entire society, you're looking at social issues, you're looking at economic issues, and you're looking at environmental issues.
Right.
And every single organization, especially if they're listed and they have to create an actual annual report, they now create what we call an integrated report. And that integrated report talks to every single aspect of that people, planet, and profit, and how the company relates to it and how it actually engages with it and implements it in its own organization.
People, planet, and profit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole new thing. I mean, when did this come about?
Late 90s.
Oh, so it's actually been a while.
No, it's been around for a while. So, I mean, we've seen a massive uptake in
the 90s did not care about the planet. I mean,
no,
look at fashion
started,
back from then.
Yeah, no,
it was very ugly. That was proper pollution.
It was abominable.
Yeah.
I was watching music videos.
No, it's incredible. I do the same. We're going to come back to this topic. Unsigned says, we hate paper straws.
Oh, my
gosh. I think
gosh.
We do. I think everybody
do we hate paper straws. And you know what the worst about those paper straws is? Is that, you know, like if you're having a freezer or a nice, like, shake, and you leave it for 5 minutes.
No, you can't. You dare
by
not.
By the time you come back, you're
it
done.
It is absolutely unacceptable.
You literally
bad.
Cannot drink your thing. Like, you actually either have to ask for a double straw so you can keep one in your purse, or you have to be one of those.
Oh, that's clever.
Yes, but then you're using more, but it's fine because it's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to be one of those who gets... I actually bought a straw in December. I did. I went and I bought one of those metal straws, and it came in a beautiful little case.
Mm.
I've got it somewhere.
Time is 7:35. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Becky says, hi, Howard. It was my first time at Sinai. I found it incredible and so enlightening. I was not able to hear your interview with the Chief Rabbi Goldstein. Please, can you play it back for us? That's from Becky. All right. And don't forget to answer Louis Harper's sports question. We'll wrap that up just before we chat to Anthony Wright. Gimple the Fool says they should just legalize it. It's impossible to stop, and it's a farce. I happen to agree with you, Gimple. My view is open it up. Let everybody do. Let people. You want to take drugs, performance enhancing drugs? Take it. If you drop dead at the finish line, then you won't do it again. That's my attitude towards this.
Is it?
Yeah. Look, maybe because I'm not a sportsman and I haven't got a chance of actually competing ever.
Maybe
but I really
some,
do feel that. I think the only
drugs.
Thing that is going to ultimately stop people is death.
This is true.
Or you could have two Olympics.
Texas.
You could have legalized Olympics where anybody can do whatever they want. And there we go.
Yeah, I don't know if that would go down with the Olympic Committee.
Sounds like chaos.
Does it sound like
just chaos?
Chaos. You don't think it's a practical solution?
To have one like where you could like known drugs and then one non-known drugs. Well, then you'll still get the people who want to take the drugs going to that one because they still want to show
it
them.
Okay, it is chaos. I get it. I get it. Jeez. Alrighty.
I think it's only because you're such a runner now that you.
Oh, you think so?
I do.
And I want to take performance enhancing drugs.
No, I feel like that, you know, because you're so natural. You're natural athlete. That
well,
you
speaking
don't
of,
want
speaking
those
of,
who are unnatural.
Oh, to, I could be that.
To
it
take advantage of the sport because you're a purist. That's what I think.
Or not. The other thing is when you do any of these runs, you know, as you run past a water stand.
I was going to say a person. No, just a water stand.
No, I've never run past a person yet unless they're the ones handing out water, but no one actually participating. When you run past a water stand, they give you the water in little sachets.
Bags, yes.
in plastic.
Yeah. What?
And the road is littered. Now, obviously, they're cleaning it up afterwards, and they have the bins, but I don't know. I don't know how fast you have to be running not to be able to throw it in one of those big bins that are there. They're open. You just run past it, and you drop it in. I've never
places.
Had to run so fast. I mean, I've never run so fast that I didn't have the time to drop one in there. But people drop them on the floor.
They do. In fact, they're all over.
All over. And it's actually, number one, for us people over 25, it's quite dangerous because they're quite slippery. We could break a hip. Anyway, but besides that, I always think, you know, and I'm really not an environmentalist. I really couldn't care if I never saw what my favorite animal?
Abalone.
An abalone again in
his
my
favorite
life.
Favorite animal.
If abalones were extinct, honestly, I would not shed a tear. But, so I'm not that big an environmentalist, but you do look at all this plastic on the floor and thinking, nah, come on, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Exactly. Does it come in a checkers? So you actually are right. Cause I mean, when we look at, so when you talk about plastic, so thank you for bringing it up, Howard. Funny you should mention that because in 2018, so this past year, it was estimated that 380 million tons of plastic are produced worldwide each year. And of that, and this is where the straw discussion comes in, approximately almost up to 8.8 million metric tons of plastic waste enter the ocean from coastal communities each year.
That's a
which
lot.
Is massive. And then it has a massive effect on the marine life and a massive effect
on... Yeah, again,
on
don't, I'm not so worried about the marine life, but is it going to affect like your holiday in Flet?
So it may, because you can't get fish and it's going to be more expensive.
Oh, okay. So then we have to put a stop to this.
Yes,
nonsense.
You see, it's making your fish more expensive.
Absolutely.
To eat fish.
Right.
So when we look at what's actually happening globally and the move away from plastics, I mean, so even when the shopping centers and the retailers started looking at bags, right? And then they were like, they were going to actually charge you for bags because they cannot be recycled. There's all these landfills and it's creating this massive amount of waste globally. So that's when the move started. But again, it hasn't started that long ago. It really was only late 90s and now.
But I'm deeply suspicious of this whole bag thing as well, because isn't it just a way for the retailers to charge you extra money
for your bags?
I'm still not going to be able to walk out of Dis-Chem and balance everything
on your head.
Exactly, in all my arms. Like, I'm still going to need a packet. So all they're doing is charging me for
it. Well, that's why they want you to bring your sustainable bag or your material
bag. I know. I keep a sustainable bag in my
boot. Listen, unfortunately, I'm also one of those. I can never remember. No matter how many bags I collect.
I can barely.
Or which sustainable bags I have in my
car. I can't remember to return a phone call. I'm now going to remember to walk around with a sustainable bag in my pocket.
Exactly. And then
like,
also,
who are we kidding?
Yeah, no, this is with your straw. So you're going to have, so walking around, you're going to have your straw.
Right.
You're going to have your sustainable
basically,
bag.
Basically, so maybe somebody needs to do that. Is
create
market.
A man bag for you.
No, I can't get used to man bags. It's just not really my thing. But maybe like a sustainable eco system where you have this little eco thing that's got your sustainable bag, your steel straw, everything in it that you might need in case of an environment. So as not to have an environmental impact or something.
You've got to remember to take it with you. So, and also, yes. I walk into a shop, I go there for milk, and I come out with two trolleys.
Right, but you're not going to take a bag with you. You know, it's easy to steal the trolley there.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you think you're going to go shopping and you need one bag, and then you come back and you need 30, then you also have over sort of spent your bag allowance. But even, you know, when we look at, so when it just extends much further even than just the bag. So when we're looking at organizations and all companies from retailers to big business, all of them, when they're building buildings these days, they're looking at green buildings. So they're looking at the overall carbon footprint, and they actually report on this. So when I talk about the integrated report and their sustainability, they're looking at their corporate social investment. Sometimes they're even getting involved in actual environmental cleanup. And you're looking at companies like the big oil companies. They, and also when they've had those oil spills, you've seen this like massive like outrage and how they're killing the environment. And then what they do to make up for it, ironically, is those companies that are the biggest perpetrators are actually the biggest in terms of giving back and trying to put like policies and procedures in place that actually try and combat environmental sort of degrade.
Right.
And so they build a building that's a green building. It's got renewable energy. It's got efficient lighting. It's got grey water systems. If you look now, they've even created what they have those photovoltaic cells on the roofs.
What is that?
A photovoltaic cell is actually just a really fancy word for like a solar panel.
All right.
Sorry.
Well, just say so. I got so excited there for a minute. Yeah.
It's a solar panel. Makes it sound very clever.
Very clever.
They have them in the desert in Israel. So we're in a country like South Africa where we've got so much natural sunshine, we can actually really...
No, it's completely absurd that we don't have, that we're not operating more on solar.
Exactly. And now that you can look at the wind farm. So globally, you've seen a massive move. All, from all companies, from a carbon footprint.
I know one windmill in Musenberg could sustain the entire southern part of Africa.
Exactly.
Right.
And create your Shabbos meal.
Right.
And so, yeah, from where there are natural resources that can, well, actually, well, natural sort of phenomena like wind and sunshine, we should be using that to create sustainable and renewable energy. And I mean, and also if you look at what happened in Cape Town, so this was a massive thing for me. So I mean, look at green energy. So, and why it's become so huge. So when we had a huge water problem in Cape Town because we actually had a drought, all of a sudden people were getting very upset about water. So where you didn't think twice about water usage, all of a sudden people are up in arms if you're using more than your 2 minute shower song to have a shower. Or if you're flushing your toilet too many times. So again, it depends on what your needs are and what your restrictions are.
Everybody became very, very environmentally aware in terms of water.
Absolutely. And all businesses. I mean, if you were a business and you were seen to be wasting your water, you would have been killed. So from a marketing perspective, you have to be very aware of your environment. You have to be aware of your consumers because if you are sort of in disagreement with your consumers in terms of how you position yourself, you're going to lose those consumers because they can go elsewhere these days. Everything's so commoditized that literally you have to be acceptable to your consumers.
Yeah,
and unless you're marketing in that way, you're not going to be sustainable yourself.
You see, the problem is Cape Town as well. They took this very, very seriously. I was in Cape Town 10 days ago, and you go to a bathroom, try and wash your hand, and now all this air comes out with a hint of water. It's basically moist air. So they're pretending that you're washing your hands, but you're really, really not. So you stand there, and you know, you give your hands a quick,
once over
with a little bit of moisture, and then the Cape Townians get to save money on water. You know, I want to say, guys, the drought is over. Can we please have a little bit of water here to wash our hands?
Yeah, but then you're seen as an irresponsible citizen if you're not doing that. So there's
world.
I mean, there's so much in this green marketing and sustainability. If you look at companies like Woolworths, and there are a lot of companies that have done so much, and they say they're moving to their plastic bags and everything. So the bottom line is that it is huge, but go get your straw, because there's nothing worse than having a paper straw that melts your food.
I think that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
And be prepared to pay a little bit of extra for your plastic bag. Because you don't care about the environment. Dina Diamond, thank you as always. I have no doubt we'll be coming back to talk about this conversation, this again and again and again.